2 Timothy chapter 4, beginning in verse 1. I charge you, therefore, before God. And by the way, the therefore, what does that tell us? That we need to go back, right? Let me tell you what he's doing here. He has already rebuked several people for false teaching. He has dealt with false teachers. He has dealt with false doctrine. And he says, I charge you, Timothy, therefore, before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who will judge the living and the dead at the appearing of his kingdom, preach the word, be ready in season and out of season, convince, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and teaching, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but according to their own desires, because they have itching ears, they will heap up for themselves teachers, and they will turn their ears away from the truth, and be turned aside to fables. But you, be watchful in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, fulfill your ministry. I was supposed to be in 1 Corinthians today, chapter 14, and speaking on tongues. But I believe I'm led to preach from this passage today. And I understand, I was sharing with Mike King, that I haven't been nervous to preach in a while. But I was nervous today. I am nervous from a sense of I know that what I'm going to touch on today can upset some people. And in fact, last night, I got to tell you, I was preparing a message for 1 Corinthians chapter 14. And at 11 o'clock at night, I was led to preach this. It just kept on going over and over in my mind. And I was like, it would just be easier to let it go and not deal with it. And I was very tempted to just let it go, and I thought, you know, no, I need to deal with this particular issue. And so I'm here preaching this today, and afterwards we can have a meeting for the pastor's resignation if we want, but I'm just going to preach the message as it is. Let me ask you a question. I have faults, and I have strengths. If I got up here and I told you that God speaks to me face to face like he speaks to Moses, what would your reaction be? Is that a big deal to say that God speaks to me face to face like he does Moses? What if I told you that God speaks to me directly and he tells me to write down the things that he says to share with people? What would you do? Is that a big deal? So that my word is just as valid as Scripture itself. What if I got up here and I told you that God delivered to me a vision, and in that vision, he showed me, he told me, and I called up all these different churches, specifically United Methodist, is a very liberal branch, believes in, you know, ordaining gay pastors or same-sex marriage, you know, abortion. Lutherans, which is a different sect, Baptist, and Catholics. And I called each of these groups up here and said, the Lord has delivered to me a vision that these are all one, and that we need to move towards being one and have one spirit and not be critical towards one another and not get hung up on our doctrine for the sake of unity. What would you do if I got up here and I preached that? You'd leave. I hope that you would have the spiritual fortitude and stewardship for this church and for the doctrine to fire me, to deliver me to Satan, that the flesh may be destroyed, that the spirit might be delivered. Because that's what I would have coming if I did those things. That is false doctrine. That is opinionation. That is divisive of the Scripture. That is the very definition of heresy. What would you do if we had a guest speaker that came here and preached those things? Incidentally, I would speak against them and I would put them out of the church and they would never be invited back. Incidentally, one of the things that false teachers like to do is they point to people like me that speak out against them and they say, you're always negative, you're divisive, and you're the problem. You speak out against people and that is not good, that is not unity. And all of a sudden, a person speaking against the false teaching is the bad guy. And it's a very effective tool because what happens as soon as you do that is now the person speaking out against them is the one who's coming in between unity. The person speaking out against them is the one who is the one who's against Christ, against this oneness of the body and everything else. The only problem they forget is if you go through Scripture just in the book of Matthew alone and you look at how many times Jesus Christ spoke out against false teachers. John the Baptist, oh brood of vipers, who told you to flee the wrath to come? Therefore your condemnation shall be greater. How many times did Christ speak out against him? And just in chapter 23 of Matthew alone, woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, while they're standing right there. And I don't want to make my ministry all about criticism, and I try not to. And I do affirm some people. I think MacArthur makes his mistakes like we all do. But he is a good, solid teacher. I think David Jeremiah for his mistakes. I think that there's a lot of people that criticize him as being a false teacher. I have not seen any evidence of that, and I've been blessed by his ministry sometimes. Chuck Swindoll, the same. Some people have spoken against him, and I'm blessed by his ministry. Alistair Beggs is just great. I just love these people. John Piper, I don't know why he endorses some of the people he do, but as far as his ministry itself, I think he's very much a blessing. I think it's great. But other people, no. Paul himself speaks out against false teachers, calls them by name in 1 Timothy 1:20. If you look over there, I didn't have a whole lot of time to prepare this, so maybe it's a little choppy. He says, he's speaking about those who are divisive. He said in verse 19, having faith and good conscience, which some having rejected concerning the faith have suffered shipwreck, of whom are Hymenaeus and Alexander, whom I have delivered to Satan that they may learn not to blaspheme. These are false teachers in the church. He calls them out by name and criticizes them for their ministry. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 17. Again, Hymenaeus is in view, but also this time Philetus. Verse 17. He says, talking about, let's back it to verse 16 to bring it into context. But shun profane and idle babblings, for they increase to more ungodliness, and their message will spread like cancer. Hymenaeus and Philetus are of this sort. Again, he calls out specific false teachers by name. John, in 3 John, calls Diotrephes out because he loves the preeminence. And so is it wrong to call out false teachers? No, I'm going to tell you that it is the pastor's duty to do so. I don't need to make this my everyday thing. We need to stay focused on Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is the way to heaven. We need to stay focused on the true message. But when something comes in and infiltrates the church and it is a false teacher, we need to speak out against it. And so I will. Now here's where this is coming from. Last night the subject came up about Beth Moore. Beth Moore. I said, yeah, she says a lot of that are messed up. That's as far as I went last night because we were having a banquet, and I said, it's not the time or place to get into that conversation. I don't want to turn it into a negative thing. I don't believe Beth Moore is the Antichrist. I don't believe that she's the worst teacher at all, but I believe that she is a false teacher. And I'll tell you why I believe that. I know this is going to upset people, but let me just tell you what the issues are with her. The issue isn't that I just want to criticize other people and make myself look great. For goodness sakes, if I did that, I would be in a church of 500. If I told people what they wanted to hear, placated to the negative crowd, I mean, we could just blow up. That is not my experience here at all. It's not what I want to do. Okay? My issue with Beth Moore is not that she endorsed Hillary Clinton. She did, but that wasn't really about Hillary Clinton being so great. That was that she couldn't stand Donald Trump. And, you know, whatever, that's her opinion. You're allowed to vote for whoever you want to. And, you know, there's some issues there, whatever, as far as a lot of pastors get upset because, you know, that particular party believes in abortion, and I do believe abortion is a primary issue. But I don't think she endorsed abortion. I think she, and I don't even know if she really endorsed Hillary Clinton. She just didn't endorse Donald Trump, and that's her right to do so. And I'm not going to speak out against that. That's not my issue with her. My issue with her isn't that she did some things wrong across the pulpit and apologized for them later because she got called out on it. Goodness sakes, I remember when I came here, my first sermon, one of my first one or two, three sermons, whatever it was, I said something, and afterwards I misspoke. And I didn't mean to say what I said, but I said it. And afterwards, I got called out on it. And I came out, I confessed I was wrong. And it really stunk because some people left the church over it. And it was like, man, this is hard. I mean, guys, it would be impossible to get up here and say something, you know, and never make a mistake. It really would be. I mean, you're dealing with this. Sometimes I'm saying it and just the word that I'm thinking, and Mike Maller can totally see eye to eye with me on this because he said it himself. The word that I'm thinking isn't the word that comes out of my mouth. Goodness, man, I'm a people. She's a people. People say things they don't necessarily mean. John MacArthur. We like John MacArthur. We don't worship him. We know he says things that I disagree with on occasion. I'm probably the one that's wrong. I don't know. But I know he misspoke one time and came out and almost said the way it could be taken was that he was saying that Christ didn't have to die for our sins. And that is not what he said, but that's what came out. And he publicly apologized for that. People can do that. That's not my issue with Beth Moore. That is not my issue with Joel Osteen. That's not my issue with Joyce Meyer. Okay, or these particular people that we talk about. There are reasons that I will not endorse a Beth Moore study or a Beth Moore field trip in this church. And they are this. Number one, she endorses Joyce Meyer. Joyce Meyer is flat out a false teacher. She has preached that Jesus stopped being the Son of God at a point. She has preached that Jesus went to hell in our place and was tormented in our place. That is heresy. She preached that if you don't believe that Jesus went to hell and was tormented for our sake, you could not be saved. Is that the gospel? No. There's a lot of things wrong with Joyce Meyer. But she has preached that we need to come alongside and be united with Joyce Meyer because, you know, it's all about unity. There's an issue there. She has preached that she has direct conversations. Again, this is the thing that I said. She has preached that she has direct conversations with God face to face, just like Moses has. I've watched the videos. I would not say something that she said something that I didn't see for myself on video. She has taught something called contemplative prayer, where you examine yourself and look to yourself in your deepness of yourself for inner spiritual strength and look to yourself inside. That is mysticism. That is not, we do not look to ourselves. The only thing in us that's any good at all is God. Everything else is corrupt. She has taught that God showed her a vision. And I watched this on video, and you can look it up for yourself. Go to YouTube. It's called Beth Moore's False Vision. That's the name of it. She has taught that God showed her a vision, and she brought all these different churches up. Again, United Methodist, Lutheran, Baptist, Catholic. And that we all just need to, we're all one church, really, and we just need to be united. And doctrinal issues are secondary. Now, here's the thing. If you go listen to a Beth Moore conference, I've never been to one. 90% of it might be wonderful. The enemy gets you. There's always a little bit of truth there, or a little bit of sin in, hidden carefully inside the truth. But here's the thing. If I bake you a big batch of brownies, and I put a little piece of poop in that big batch of brownies, you're going to eat the brownies? The whole lot is ruined. I don't hate Beth Moore. Again, I don't know why she does what she does. I know she is Southern Baptist, believe it or not. There's a lot of people, by the way, that are complete heretics that are Southern Baptists, in case you were wondering. And there are people that are solid, expository, biblical preachers that are Southern Baptist. Don't get hung up in the name. Again, why do I care? Do I want to just attack Beth Moore without provocation and just, you know, make her look bad? And I mean, what's my motivation here? Why do I care? Am I just a party pooper who wants to rain on everybody's? Here it is. I care because I'm accountable to the Lord. And someday I've got to give account. If these things come up in the church, I could remain silent. But if I did, I would be a horrible pastor. Absolutely horrible. Absolutely. I wouldn't be worth a grain of salt. I'm accountable. Someday I got to stand before God. Ezekiel chapter 2, God tells Ezekiel, "Son of man, I've set you forth as a watchman. If a person is sinning and you do not correct him," he says, "if I give you a word and you don't correct him," he said, "his blood I will require on your hands." He'll die in his own sins. He's accountable for his own sin. But I've got to give account. And that's Paul's point here in verse 1. Look at it. He says, "I charge you, Timothy, I charge you, therefore, before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, listen, who will judge the living and the dead at his appearance and his kingdom." That's his millennial reign. What's he saying? He's saying, Timothy, someday you're going to stand before God. And everybody under your care is going to stand before God. And he says, so I charge you on that basis, Timothy. Understand what's at stake. Someday you're going to have to give account. Everybody you care for is going to have to give account. I charge you, Timothy. Charge you to do what? Look at verse 2. Preach the word. Preach the word. One of the marks of a false teacher is that they will go on and on without alluding to the word. Or they'll take a word, they'll take a verse. Oh, I took a verse and the Lord just spoke to me. And they'll take that verse completely out of context and blow it up into this whole thing. They got illustration. Oh, gosh, they can capture an audience. They'll go on and on holding a shovel or holding a baseball mitt or holding a ball or whatever, you know, whatever their illustration thing is, or want to have a giant Bible in front of them or something, you know, or whatever. There's nothing wrong with those illustrations, but they go on and on and on about your feelings, about you being the victim, and about you need to overcome, and you know, this thing, these things that charge us up. And you listen to them going on and on and on, and they might allude to four verses, their whole entire sermon, and never get to the word, what the word really says, never really pull out the meat of the word. We are not to preach to the emotions. We are not to preach to the... We are to preach the word of God. The godly preacher will preach the word of God. Define scripture with scripture. Open up the word of God to you in a rational manner that is in context with the surrounding verses it is pulled from. In John chapter 17, verse 17, Jesus' high priestly prayer. And he prays, first he prays in chapter 17, he prays, please be looking this up so you can confirm it. First he prays for himself, God, please strengthen me. Father, please strengthen me. Then he prays for the apostles. And he says, Lord, give them strength. Let them be united. Then he prays for all of us. But in there he says this in verse 17. He said, Father, sanctify them with the truth. And then he defines the truth. What does he say? Somebody who's got there, read it out loud. Your word is the truth. Not my opinions, not what everybody in the audience is feeling, not in a way that I'm connecting with everybody or whatever. Your word is the truth. A good pastor's call is to preach the truth, the word of God. The word of God is what? Doctrine. Teaching. All scripture is inspired of God and is good for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Does doctrine matter? So if I get up here and I say, we all need to be one, doctrine's secondary. That's heresy. But it happens, and we fall into it, because we don't want to be the one who's divisive. We don't want to be the one who gets up in front of the church and says, no, this is wrong. We don't want to call it out. We don't want to be the one who's branded the negative person. You know what? Jesus wasn't afraid of that. And neither were the apostles. And they went to the cross, and they died because they were unpopular, because they spoke out against the false teachers, because they spoke out against the world. And a good pastor will preach the word even when it's not popular. I could go on for hours about this. I could allude to other passages which say the word of God is what's quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. Or the sword of the Spirit is the word and all of that. But I think you get the point. The Bible, God's word, is our source of power. Paul, when he was speaking to the Corinthians, said, I didn't come to you with man's philosophy or wisdom. He said, but I came to you with power. And he says, I came to you with power and word and truth. God's word is where the power is, not the opinions, not alluding to people's emotions. And Paul's charge here is, preach the word. Not appealing to their emotions, not appealing to their philosophy, but appealing to the word of God. He goes on, he continues, he says, preach the word, and he says, be instant in season, out of season. Be instant in season, out of season. In season is eukairo, and out of season is akaro, and it just means, the word there means when the opportunity arises. So, Mike was sharing with us somebody's philosophy. I think it was Ray Comfort. He says, there's only two times you're supposed to preach the truth of God's word. In season and out of season. When it's opportune time and when it's not an opportune time. Basically, what he's saying is you just speak the truth in love all the time. Speak God's word all the time. Not just when it's convenient. Not just when it won't upset people. Not just when placates to the crowd, but preach God's word all the time. The stuff they like to hear and the stuff they don't like to hear. Oh, we love to hear the good stuff, don't we? Oh, Jesus has a special plan for you, and someday you're going to, oh, God's going to celebrate you, and the angels in heaven are celebrating. Anybody hate hearing that message? Nobody? What about the part where he says that you're wicked? You love hearing that? The part where he says there is no good in you at all, apart from what God has put there. Do you like to hear that? Do you like to hear that lying causes you to go to hell? Do you like to hear that, you know, when you're stuck on a particular philosophy and you get to that passage and you're stuck on a particular way of things? How many times have I heard from people, you know, after I'm done preaching, well, I'm still going to do what I'm going to do. I had a man here, I preached from the Word about submitting to your government. I had a man catch me at the front door and tell me, I am not going to submit to my government, especially not one that is corrupt as this. Brother, that's on you. That's on you. I've done my job. I told you the truth. I preached it when it was convenient, and I preached it when it was inconvenient. What you do with it is on you. Continuing on, he says, the reason why it's so imperative that he preaches it, first he says, be instant in season out, be ready in season out of season. He says, convince, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and teaching. I don't have any notes on this, but here's the thing that gets me. I remember there was this movement within our own association, not with our association pastors, but with the church plants. And there was this whole thing, they had this evangelism conference, and this guy who was supposed to be the guru of evangelism says, I don't ever preach about what I'm against, only what I'm for. Again, going back to Satan's thing, the false teacher's thing, don't preach the negative, don't preach against this person, only be positive and build people up. I don't ever preach what I'm against, only what I'm for. You got a problem there. Number one, you're saying Jesus did it wrong, you're saying the apostles did it wrong, and you're doing it right. Crowd. But you won't build people. What does he tell him here? What's the first thing on his list? Rebuke? What's that? That's preaching about what you're against. That's preaching against sin. Rebuke, convince, rebuke, and exhort. Sorry, the first thing is convince. That means to educate someone on the Scripture. Convince them of the truth of the Scripture. Rebuke them. And exhort. Yes, we are to come alongside of one another. We're not to have a sense of pride or anger or whatever. I got to tell you, over the years, I'm learning more and more that when I'm going to preach on something hard, I need to talk to somebody first if they're in the crowd and I'm concerned about them, because I don't want anybody to think that I'm coming down on a particular individual, because I really do care about you guys. I hope you guys know that. I hope that goes through. I'm kind of a jerk, really, in real life. I confess that to you. I don't get certain things. I'm like, God's grown me a lot. I'm just confessing this to you, okay? You guys can make fun of me afterwards, but this is the truth. I mean, sometimes I'm a clod with people's emotions. And he's always telling me, hey, do you know what you just said? You know, or she's, you know, she gets on to me afterwards or something, or one of my kids will say that, and I'm just like, wow, it just totally flew over my head. He'll say, you need to tell people they did a good job. You don't always tell people they did a good job. And I'm like, okay, yeah, you know, I do. And I'm trying to get better with that, and I think over the years I've gotten a lot better with that. To come alongside of people. It's good that I have the Word here to point that out to me, that I need to come alongside of people sometimes. That I really do. And the Lord will continue to grow me there, Lord willing. But that's part of it too. We need to come alongside of one another. And we shouldn't have a message of hate. And I hope that's not what this is. This is not a message of hate. This is a message of warning and saying, listen, yeah, everything may seem okay, but if you continue to go down that path, there's going to be an issue. There really is. Continuing on, he says, verse 3, here's the reason. He said, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. They will not endure sound doctrine. Who's the they? You know what you just said, Wayne? You just said that you will not endure sound doctrine. That's a very spiritually mature thing to say and recognize. Because here's the thing, when we look at this, we say that they is somebody else. And we don't recognize that the they is us, the church. We're the ones that are in danger of not enduring sound doctrine. This is us. And you really do yourself a disservice not to recognize that. Because we're the ones that fall into this trap. How often have you gone to the Word of God to try to prove a point of something that you already believe? And search out for affirmation until you find a preacher that agrees with you. Almost everybody's done it. I'm not saying everybody here is just apostate. I'm not saying that at all. But that's the warning. That's the danger. It's interesting that if you pulled the entire church, and I use that term lightly, that almost everyone would think that Paul is talking about somebody else. But what you need to realize is that Paul is referring to the church here, and that's you and me. He's referring to us. And his predictions made in the Spirit have come true, haven't they? When someone teaches on the subject of speaking in the tongues in the church, what's your reaction? Oh man, someone's in the church, you know, I still believe in tongues. I know somebody who said, you know, X, Y, Z, and I still preach in the tongue or speak in the tongues and everything else. And, you know, when the Bible speaks very contrary to the way that it's used in the church today. When someone speaks on any subject that you have held the same view on, or a contrary view on, is it your nature to lean into the Word and hear what the Word has to say about that particular issue? Or is it your nature to clamp up and say, well, you know, I know, and find the person that will affirm you? He says they won't endure doctrine, but according to their own desires, they'll heap up to themselves teachers. The driving force is their own desires. That's what they want. How many someone who speaks to my needs? I need someone that's speaking to me. I need someone that affirms what I believe. Oh, it's so good. I need to hear someone speak to me about suffering. I need to hear someone speak to me about overcoming adversity. Or in the case of Beth Moore, I need to hear a woman speak to me. No, you need to hear God speak to you. And if it happens to be a woman, give the message to a woman. That's fine. That's great. We can affirm that. But it's got to be God's message, not the message that we desire to hear. Let me tell you something. If it's true that you are broken and you are corrupt by your very nature, if that's true, then I can promise you if it's God's message, it's not always going to set right with you. Sometimes it's going to upset you. And if it always just makes you feel all buttery and great inside, it's not God's message. You need to hear God speak first. He says this, because of their desires, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but according to their own desires, because they have itching ears, because they want to hear what they want to hear, they will heap up to themselves teachers. They'll heap up to themselves teachers. You know, 8-tracks were big at one time, weren't they? They were big. I never used an 8-track. I saw them. It was like my kids today with tapes. Tapes were big. Man, I remember I used to make my own tapes, my own mixtapes and everything. They were huge. Tapes were huge. I mean, they made billions and billions of dollars. I wonder what made them that way. You know what? Tapes aren't around anymore. Why do you think they don't sell a lot of tapes anymore? People don't want them. People don't, it's obsolete technology. People don't want them. It's old news. What makes it big in today's world? What people want. Robert used to always say, it's worth what people are willing to pay for it. Isn't that the truth? Something's made big because that's what people want. We get teachers that are false teachers, and they're huge because that's what we want. They're not there just because, you know, they happen to be there and people just happen to be victims of them. They're there because that's what we want. They appeal to the flesh. They appeal to the desires. They appeal to the itching ears. And we heap them up. Who's supposed to give us teachers? God. God gives us teachers. And He Himself gave some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers for the edifying and the equipping of the saints, so that they be not blown about by every wind of doctrine. What's the purpose of the pastor? To preach the truth, to preach the word, so that you're not blown about by every wind of doctrine. And then we hear the truth from the pastor and we say, I don't like that. I like what this person says. And so we heap up to ourselves these other teachers that just tell us every little thing that we want to hear. And in so doing, we're outside of the will of God. And he says in verse 4, he says, and they will turn their ears away from the truth, away from the sound doctrine in the Bible, and turn aside to fables, to myths. Mythos is the Greek word. It's where we get the word myth. Fables, fiction. And that's exactly what we have going on in the world today, isn't it? Health, wealth, prosperity. If you just are faithful enough, if you just do enough for God and give enough to God, your life will be great. Is that true? No. How can you reconcile that with 2 Corinthians 3:12, which says, yea, all those who desire to live godly shall suffer persecution? How can you reconcile that with the apostles? Every one of them was slain for their faith, except for John, who was boiled alive in oil and put... exiled to the island of Patmos. How can you reconcile that with the countless martyrs that have died over the years and even in this last century? Tens of millions of martyrs in the world. It's just wrong. It's a fable. Speaking in tongues saves you. Speaking in tongues in the way that it's used in the church is a fable. It appeals to the flesh. Spiritual movements all over the place. Appeals to the flesh. It makes you feel good. You're doing something. Mysticism. Look to yourself for the answers. False doctrine. It's all mythos. It's all fables. That's where we'll go. To hear what we want to hear. And what's his charge for the pastor? He says, but you... be watchful in all things. Again, keep alert. Look around you. Speak out against the sin when it's necessary. Endure afflictions. You know, it's not always going to be popular. Sometimes you're going to preach the truth and it's going to come back on you and they're going to be angry with you. Endure it. If you love them, you'll endure it. He says, do the work of an evangelist, always preach the gospel, and fulfill your ministry. Look here, I don't have an axe to grind with Beth Moore. I don't have an axe to grind with Joel Osteen or I keep forgetting her name, Joyce Meyer or these people. I'm just telling you, look out. Everything might sound great, but when they're claiming that God is speaking through them and then they make a mistake and they say, well, everybody makes a mistake. Hey, everybody who God speaks through does not make a mistake. Now, does God give me a gift to preach and teach? Absolutely. Does God help me? Yes, He does. But does God ever tell me, Patrick, listen, write this down and communicate it? No. He doesn't. He did that with the apostles and He did that with the prophets. That's it. And that's where we have the Scripture. Does God ever give me a vision that's something completely contrary to His Word? Absolutely not. When I say that God gave me a vision and He told me something that is completely contrary to His Word, I no longer get to say it was a simple mistake and I repent. I've disqualified myself. That's all I have to say about that. Let's pray. Lord, we love You. We thank You, God.